meeting of, January, is that your?
Yeah, I get sworn in on the 22nd.
Excited?
What's that?
Are you excited?
Can you hear me?
Yours, yeah.
Okay.
Is yours on?
It was on mute, but I just took it off.
Mine's on mute. And I heard the recording, I went, oh, didn't turn mine on yet.
I just texted Daniela to double check that she was on her way.
Is there sports going on right now?
My son had a basketball game, we were at that, and then both of our, her daughter and my youngest have junior drill team, so I don't know if she's getting her settled there, maybe. Their practice started at 6:00.
I have a suggestion slash request. The agenda, just the agenda on paper, basically easier than keep running back down.
To the top.
The agenda, then go back where you were.
Look at you making executive decisions already.
That was a request, that got made it clear. Yeah, Bob, that's not fair, we need that. It was late, about ready to have a baby.
I know it, and today's his birthday.
I did not know that.
I think somebody's coming.
Here she is. Yep, and there she is.
Oh, perfect.
See, she's just a little bit late.
Every time. Okay, we good, Anne? Okay. I'll let you get mic'd up.
Oh, yeah, my car.
Your water?
Yes.
Okay, so we are going to call tonight's planning commission meeting to order at 6:02. And then we will do roll call from my, starting from my left. My left.
You're looking right.
I'm looking right, my left.
Rob Simmons.
Daniela.
Alma Carmona.
Ruth Sawyer.
Maria Martinez.
And then we are excusing Jose Garza tonight. Okay. Do we want to do public input, Anne? Do you want me to do minutes first?
No, we need to do public input first before you vote on anything.
Okay, so I will open up the public input at 6:03. Seeing none. Do you want me to go for at least a minute? Do you want me to close it?
No. I mean, I can't talk.
Everyone said no.
They're not waving at you, so.
Okay, I'm also going to close public input at 6:03. Okay, did everybody get a chance to look at the October 20th minutes? Any changes, typos, anything anyone has concern over?
I did not check them for typos because I know we have someone who does that, but I approve the minutes for their content as written.
Bob?
I mean, I move to approve.
Bob, did you see anything weird in our minutes?
No, they're already fixed.
Okay, perfect. So then at this time, I will entertain a motion to approve the October 20th minutes. You motioned, can I get a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay, minutes pass. I gotta go to the top and see what's next. Okay, do we want to jump into 4N?
Yes.
Okay, do you want to go over that with us a little bit?
So let me get the map up. Hang on. Okay, I'm going to share the screen here.
Oh, okay. So then we will add Jose in at 6:05.
Okay. So we received an application for another phase of Sand Hill Estates. This is the last property that's left there. This was originally intended or planned as apartments. Let me look, do the site plan. So the apartments were going to go all the way through
to
11th Avenue over here on the east. The developer has changed his mind, and so he wants to divide it into single family lots instead. Or technically, they could be multifamily, it's zoned R4, but individual lots. And where that causes a problem is the municipal code says that a dead end, a street with no outlet, mm-hmm. so a dead end street can have, it can be no longer than 700 feet and have no more than 20 dwellings on it. And this is something we talked about in revising the subdivision code, and we left that standard as it was.
Right.
So they are requesting a deviation from that requirement. Staff has discussed it. We don't really see many options for this property.
Okay.
They did add, and one of the reasons there's no options is that the houses along Cascade Street, all of these lots are already filled, so they can't even punch a street through without removing a brand new house, which didn't seem like a reasonable requirement. They did add a stub street here, but it's not going to connect now. It may never connect. We don't know. This property to the north, it's owned by the city. The city doesn't really have a plan for this portion yet. So, you know, who knows what might happen. It might be sold. It might be developed. We don't know. So that stub street, they are providing it. It may not ever go anywhere. But it could, if something is developed up here, it would extend. So... The other thing they're requesting is the street width of 60 feet for the right of way rather than 66. At the time that it was submitted, that was the code. The code's subsequently been changed, but just make sure we're really, you know, get all the details. I wanted you to formally approve that. It's been approved for all the previous ones, so I don't see that one really as even needing much discussion.
Okay.
So the big issue is the long dead-end street.
Right.
Right-of-way would be easement to easement, one side of the road to the other, correct?
Right. So the actual street right-of-way, so the constructed width is going to be the same no matter what the right-of-way is, but it's just, you know, which portion is owned by the city and which portion is owned by the private property owners.
Okay. So my next question was the street width will be the same. That won't affect that.
Mm-hmm. That'll just change to follow the current ordinance, right? Because it was changed after he submitted.
The street width was changed by the city several years ago, but the right-of-way width hadn't been changed until earlier this month, or the end of last month.
Right. Okay.
Is there access through the parking lot?
Yes. Thank you. Yes. So that was one of the things, is that there will be access maintained through this parking lot.
Right. All the way through to that other outlet, correct?
The outlet.
On Cascade?
On 8th to Cascade.
Okay.
And so that was a requirement
Right, so they're still, through traffic, they're still able to make it through that cul-de-sac.
Right. They'll probably put in speed bumps to make it less convenient and try to discourage it, but in an emergency, people can definitely get through there.
And I know we've talked about this briefly last time we looked at this, but fire trucks can make it through there, EMS can make it through there, and they'd be able to use that parking lot.
Yes.
Through the apartment buildings. Okay.
Yes.
Mentioned that should that complex be sold, that it would be a contingency to have that right of way.
That would have to remain open.
Is that something that can happen then?
Additional access, and even at that point, the fire department would still like to maintain at least emergency access. I've recommended pedestrian access be continued as well.
Mm-hmm. One of the discussions I saw that was going on was blocking that Ninth Avenue, is that what that would be?
Ninth is the one to the north, the stub
street. Yeah.
Yep.
Blocking it at the property line of the city and this development. I know the concerns, the people blocking that, then emergency entrance or exit. Mm. In my opinion, if that's left to be a street, people will park on it. Right on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's considered blocked or not. I wonder what the council and what you think, Ann, about actually blocking it before the street. As far as
so
if there's going to be a chain,
a parking
right?
Lot.
Oh, having it blocked. Be along the Mount Hood, having the barricade be there.
Yeah, and I just would like to hear this discussion on it because I don't know if we've attempted that before, maybe sometime in the past, but I could see someone then parking along the chain like it's just the parking for the street, which
right.
would also block it. I don't know if you get around the blocking of it, to be honest with you, but I was just wondering.
Yeah. So I mean, if people are parking along the curb, it's just like any other street, so that's not blocking the access. I think the concern was when you have a dead end, people, it tends to accumulate cars, you know,
sure.
if you have extra cars.
And people will park in front of that chain.
Yeah.
No matter where it is, probably.
And would it be paved all the way up to the dead end, or would it be unpaved where
it
the road ends?
It would be paved. They did ask to have a deferral, and then they withdrew that request.
Okay.
So it would be built just like a street all the way up to that north property line. And then the city and the fire department need to discuss what that what's going to be there. I think the public works standards would say that it should be barricades. Fire department said if it's a cable or a chain that we can cut in an emergency, that's better. But then he did have concerns about if there's people parking there. That in an emergency, the fire department tends to be able to like shove things out of the way. So
or go through windows. Just pass a hose through.
I mean, I don't see any other options
mm-hmm.
for what he has going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he's already developed the other side. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think it is, in my opinion, it is worth taking it to the hearing examiner and everybody else that's already looking at it, just because, and what do you do with that, right? You
right,
can't
yeah,
really
I mean, it's
ask
either
him to do anything else.
Allow it as a deviation or say, sorry, you can't develop that property.
Right.
So.
Does anybody else have any other opinions? Because we're just making
nope.
a recommendation on this, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But how does something like this happen?
Well, what happened is it was proposed one way and then, you know, approved with the apartments starting out because they were going to continue the apartments and now they don't want to continue the apartments.
Mm-hmm. And I think he came and talked with us a few meetings back about it just sure. financially didn't make sense for him to continue the apartments because he was having issues already filling what he had. And so the best thing for him to do financially was to pivot at this point and turn them into homes because he was having trouble filling up the existing apartment building right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why he decided to pivot, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Just financially didn't make sense for him.
I don't have any more questions based on, I think it was a pretty good discussion when he came. And so
mm-hmm. okay. I did give you in the
with it.
The staff report my recommendation as far as how it should be conditioned to
that seemed reasonable
concerns as best we can.
Yeah. Do we need to vote on this recommendation, Ann?
Yes.
Okay. So at this time, I will entertain a motion to approve staff's recommendations.
Yeah. Any recommendation on verbiage for that motion, Ann? Specific verbiage?
You could...
Recommendation to hearing examiner?
With staff, with the staff conditions. You could, you know, recommend that it be approved with the conditions as recommended by staff, something like that. Or you could, you know, staff recommendations, you know, one and two.
Are you motioning? Did you motion?
I'm, yeah, I'm moved with that verbiage.
Can I get a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries. Okay, I gotta go back to the top here because I don't know what's next. Okay, comprehensive plan update, discussion of topic areas.
Okay, so we are starting on updating the comprehensive plan.
Page 18 of the packet, Ann?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to get us started on this?
Sure. So we did hire a consultant, and we had them look at what would be required if our comprehensive plan was done as a fully planning under the Growth Management Act. And I realized as I was saying that, I maybe need to back up a little bit, because not everybody works in this world like I do. So the state of Washington adopted the Growth Management Act in 1990 and 1991. Has a lot of rules for the fast-growing jurisdictions. And some places don't have quite as many rules. And so we are fortunate to be in the places that don't have as many rules. But the structure of the comprehensive plan that's required for a fully planning jurisdiction, I think, is a really good place to be. We maybe don't need to do all of the zoning things they are required to do, but I'd like us to do most of the comprehensive planning things. So I did give you a chart of kind of like topic areas, mm-hmm. and that's mostly what I'd like to go through with those, just make sure you're okay with those. There are a few that I noted that I didn't think were really suitable for us here. And there were a few that I just wanted you to discuss because I didn't want to make the call on that on my own.
Okay.
It'd be a lot faster to talk about the ones you didn't mark as yes. It'd be a lot faster to talk about the ones you didn't mark as yes.
Right, yeah. So if you're good with all the ones I marked with yes, we can just focus on the rest of them. So I guess one, to start with the urban growth area size. In a fully planning jurisdiction, their urban growth area is only as big as they're going to fill in the next 20 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Our growth area is quite a bit larger. I don't think we're going to grow that much in 20 years. But I also don't think we negotiated that with the county long in the past. I don't think we want to like go back and rehash that. I think we just stick with that and acknowledge that we're not, that's not a 20-year boundary. That's bigger.
Okay.
So if you're okay with that, then
that makes
we'll,
sense.
Yes. We'll go that way.
Bob has,
and Bob has something to say. Let me, here, Bob, I will
just. I would have made it come up with a mic.
Yeah.
Come on, Paul.
Casual today.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to beat your record. We're going to be out of here pretty soon. You watch.
Steelers are playing.
No, I do have a. I do have a concern on that first one. I think we definitely should evaluate the urban growth area size.
I agree.
There's a lot of discussion, I think, to have. And I don't really remember the county being involved in determining that growth area size, but maybe they did. I don't remember everything in the last 27 years, but
not involved.
I think it needs to be adjusted because right now, the way they use urban growth area, that's a definition specific to people that are fully planning.
Mm-hmm.
We're not fully planning, so I suggest using a different word for that.
Okay.
Because that happened within the last 8 months. There's 99% of the attorneys, land use attorneys, are from urban growth area, fully planning. None of them know anything about the non-fully planning. So they see that term, And they assume that because it's urban growth area, it automatically is going to get annexed into the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, there's a lot of discussion I'd like to have on that.
Yeah. And is also, I was going to ask, is there a map that lays out what that area would,
yeah,
what those areas are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's right there.
Which ones, what color am I looking at?
Anything in color is in the urban growth.
Okay.
I think it's listed as urban growth boundary.
Now the ones that are yellow are those?
An even different term than that.
I mean,
so we can come up with our own term.
Right.
As a city and a planning commission that identifies what we think our growth is in that 20 years.
Because what happened here is they, you know, you have a 50-year plan and somebody comes in and says, sees urban growth area and they automatically get annexed into city limits.
Yeah.
And they wonder why it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not
a
mismatch,
true urban
right?
growth area.
We just had a piece of property that came up that didn't match the flow. So maybe this should be looked at a little bit.
Okay.
Just so that we're not having piecemeal properties come together.
Mm-hmm. That does make sense.
Go ahead.
So when I looked at this, and I've been looking at this a lot, mm-hmm, I really liked page 27. And especially as it relates to what Bob is bringing up, when you look at the goals, and if, I think that if you all use this as a guide for how you want to address some of these areas for your growth and what you're thinking and when does that get out of whack? And again, this is, you know, when we talked about history and different times that we have looked to make recommendations from the Planning Commission and the types of things we used. So, you know, empowering City Council with you guys really vetting these goals and getting them to us in a way that is simple to understand is really going to help us out a lot. And I think also help eliminate some of the confusions and concerns for the future that Bob's bringing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think it needs to be looked at a little bit more. I don't know how the rest of commission feels. You guys have any input on that? Maybe something you want to see that we didn't mention specifically to the urban growth planning maps and areas?
I mean, Ann, I think, you know, I don't know this is a comprehensive plan is a huge process,
mm-hmm,
with multiple layers, multiple levels. And I think for all of us, you know, City Council, Planning Commission, and other entities that will play a role in this, it's, you know, what, where, and who in those locations and figuring that out, you know, at what point. I mean, we went through city zoning altogether with the entire City Council. You know, I don't know how things are going to be done in the future, but I could envision something very similar to that happening. I just don't know what, where, and how on the map. I mean, is it going to be a recommendation that comes to City Council, or is this a kind of work in progress to get it there in toto? I guess my question is to Ann on that.
Like what the process for the comprehensive plan is going to be?
And these guys' role in that.
I don't know the total process yet. It's very involved, as you know.
Yeah, very.
I would think it's mostly going to be Planning Commission work, probably with some check-ins with the council of here's where we're at and here's where we're going, and just rather than work for 2 years and bring it to the council and have them say start over.
I can't wait to do that, by the way.
Okay, so I think we've all kind of agreed on revisiting
the
urban growth.
Yep.
Okay, so let's move on to the next item.
So evaluate what's going on in the growth area as far as patterns of development, suitability, mm-hmm, infrastructure. That seems really important.
Yes.
Another of the formal things is integrate the countywide planning policies. So far, the county only has those for housing, and those were ones that we worked on not too long ago, if you remember that.
Yeah.
The county is probably also going to be updating their comprehensive plan, so they may have more policies by the time we get there. So I think we leave that in as a yes for now.
And then review it as they update
yeah.
it? Okay.
Updating the future land use map is a definite yes. That's that map on the wall to take a look at that.
Okay.
So then another, this was language out of the growth management statutes about consider urban planning approaches that increase physical activity and reduce vehicle miles traveled.
I don't know how you reduce 2 miles.
Yeah.
What's that?
I don't know how you reduce 2 miles.
Yeah.
Direction. Probably for bigger.
Yeah, so that cities, is.
Right?
Just doesn't apply to us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Population projection, that is a huge problem with our current plan. There was very odd math used, which said that we're going to get to 30,000 by 2035. I don't know. It was something.
Wow.
Or I don't know. 17,000. It's crazy numbers that isn't realistic. And so then if you try to plan for that, how do you plan for that kind of traffic and that much, those utilities? And it's just not, it's caused us problem with every, like the, when they do the sewer plan, it's causing them problems. So we just need to fix it to be realistic.
Right.
Who gets to help make, sorry, who gets to determine what that number is? And does it go off of a consultant at one point that said that? And so the city followed, is that?
Where it came from was a previous planner. I don't know, Chris, maybe you were there. Maybe you remember, I don't know. But it had to do with, I don't know, it was weird math. That's all I can say.
Well, yeah, and that was going to be kind of my same question. I know I had asked you, it's been a while now, when our next population count, if it was recently done or when it was planning on being done again.
So the state does an estimate every year. So, I mean, you know, there's the federal census every 10
right.
years. The State Office of Financial Management does an update every year where they look at our building permits from the last year and things
so,
like that.
So couldn't those numbers from the state essentially be used
yeah.
as a projection?
Yeah. And so the state also does project for each
okay.
county. They give projections of low growth, medium growth, high growth.
And do we know what the state's projection for us is? Is it that 30,000 by 30? No. Okay.
No,
so
no.
can that one
it's
be
like,
used instead?
Yes. And so that's where we would start. Is
okay.
Looking at the state projections and look at what, you know, what's our population growth rate been for the last 20 years and do a more realistic.
Okay. Perfect.
You're saying when there's recommendations for infrastructure that they're going off those numbers and that's creating problems?
Right. Because all of your plans are supposed to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say you're going to have 30,000 people, then you need to have the sewer system that's going to serve 30,000 people, except how do you afford that when you don't really have 30,000 people? And
yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Estimates of population density, building intensity. I mean, that's just yeah, basic
yeah.
planning and projection. Protection of quality and quantity of groundwater. You know, that's a big issue for us here, so
yes.
we definitely would look at that. Looking at where there should be public property for, you know, utilities, transportation, stormwater management, schools,
mm-hmm.
you know, just all of the stuff you need as you grow. That's
okay.
to me also seems like really basic planning. Open space also same kind of idea.
Quick question on that. So is it typically the task of the city to identify land that would be good for future schools?
So that's something we should work with the school district on. You know, what are you thinking, school district, and what do you have planned? And so it's
a great idea.
Collaborative.
I didn't know if it ever happened. I was on the school
should.
Board for a while, and I don't remember it ever happening.
I don't think it did. I think you're probably right, but it should happen.
Okay. I think it's a great idea, too.
So this one about drainage, flooding, stormwater runoff, I felt like that was a low priority for us. We do have a very large city stormwater basin along Highway 26. It's probably good for a good long time. So, you know, we can do this one kind of if we have time.
Time for it. Okay.
But. Yes.
Can we go back to school?
I just kind of want to point this out on. Yeah, I think that, for example, before Wahitas was built, that land was bought, you know, I don't know what, 10, 15 years beforehand. And so, I mean, we knew something would have a good chance of going up there. You know, you have that current land that, you know, is now in the middle of AJ's potential development. And where that becomes something you all want to be aware of is, how do you access that safely? You know, what sort of zoning are you going to want around it? What sort of opportunities, you know, where, how does that come together? And right. That's kind of where you got to be, you know, looking a little bit about that, you know, the infamous, you know, who did this? To, you know, you don't want to be 20 years from now going, who did this?
Right.
You want to be the person who had that vision for 20, 30 years from now as creating that opportunity. You would hate to landlock, for example, the school. So that, knowing where some of this stuff can and will go, it was super beneficial for Wahitas. And it could be, you know, I think in the next 10 years, I would be planning on something going in there to the property that AJ, you know, traded to this, that the school owns now.
Right. That's why it's included.
Yeah.
We marked yes.
I'll just be quiet.
Great input though, but we marked yes on that. Okay. Moving on. Where were we at, Ed?
Okay. So then we were the one on environmental justice.
Okay.
So, I don't know. That one reads to me like really West Sider language.
Okay.
So, I don't know what you thought about that, if you feel like that's an issue here. I mean,
I guess my only concern, Sandhill Cranes. I don't want to just put it as low priority and not consider that is, I mean, urban growth areas, right? We were just talking about this and how far out we're going to grow. Do we impact some of those things by our growth map or not?
So environmental justice, as I understand it, is like having your zoning set up so that the poor people live in the worst areas.
Okay.
So I don't know, is that an issue that we need to worry about? That like they're next to the factories and they're getting all the pollution. You hear about that a lot, like along the Mississippi, all the people that live like right along the river and they're getting all the pollution and dying of cancer because of where they're forced to live, kind of thing.
Gotcha.
So.
Any other questions on that topic, guys?
I agree with the recommendation. Yeah. It's low priority.
Yeah, low priority.
And then wildfire. I looked in the hazard mitigation plan. There is kind of like some discussion of wildfire. Again, I felt like that was kind of low priority just given what our surroundings are. I mean, yes, it can burn, but it's not like a forest fire level of danger. So.
Agreed.
Are we okay with that?
I don't have anything. Anyone else? Okay. Next.
Okay. So preservation, improvement, and development of housing. I think we're all for that. Yes.
I had a question about the considering the roles of ADUs.
Oh,
is there
that
a reason
one.
We didn't mark anything there? What was our...
So my reasoning there was, I don't know if you... have the appetite to tackle that one again.
OK.
We've been beaten up over that a few times. So, but the council's changing, so maybe it would be time to discuss it again.
I think it would be worth planning commission to review it.
Okay.
I don't know how everyone else feels about revisiting ADUs.
I never visited in the first place.
It got shut down.
And this is your last meeting.
It did get shut down initially, but I do think there was some really good stuff in the ADUs.
And maybe none of you remaining
I don't think any of them have been. Maybe Daniela.
Through it, like.
Did some of the end of the ADU
stuff. It felt like five times.
Stuff.
I don't know.
ADUs. Revisiting them. Having planning commission revisit ADUs. I don't see why not. I don't think it could hurt. There was just some really good stuff in the ADU plan that we had put together. I'm not saying all of it is good. Maybe this new commissioners would look at it differently, make different changes. I mean, it's ultimately up to what you guys think.
All right. So based on my experience with this, I think that I wouldn't look at it as, you know, zoning, ADUs, blah, blah, you know, all that stuff. I think I would look at it as a need base. Mm-hmm. Do we have need for housing? What is that need for housing? What is our proof for the need for that housing? And then do you have systems to address that need that are consistent with how we do things in the city? You know, is there avenues for that? Should those be expanded? Should they not be expanded, and in which way? I think if you're doing it from that way, I mean, just saying, should we revisit ADUs? It's probably going to be a tough sell. Being somebody who stumbled into accidentally recommending that, not intentionally, and blowing up a meeting one time, I think it's just better that if you have a purpose. And if you have a concern and you have a fix for that concern, I think you're just in a lot better place. John, do you got anything to add to that or that? No, that'd be my recommendation.
How do you feel?
Probably as part of an overall housing strategy, sounds like we'd be okay with that.
Maybe organically that would come up anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Why not? I have a question. Why not? Why did you not put a yes for the goals and policies for moderate density housing options?
So I wanted us to kind of discuss that.
Okay.
I was, so my brother and sister-in-law live in Deer Park, and they have at least one very large development that's all duplexes. Looks really nice. They've grown a lot. They went from 1A to 2A in their school district. And it looks nice. I don't know the process they went through and as far as what kind of rules they have, setbacks and all that, but it is a nice community development of duplexes, maybe some triplexes too. But when you're talking about housing needs, and I think that's something we have to talk about.
Mm-hmm. I agree, especially because we already have duplexes and Othello, I feel like it just fits the consistency.
And the duplexes we have seem to be like just scattered, right? They're just kind of random.
Yeah.
Whereas this whole development was.
And I also feel like as the
townhouses, I don't know exactly how that was developed, but they look nice.
And as they've come into Othello, they've been constructed really nicely. So I really like what has been going up in the last couple of years on some of those duplexes. So okay. I think that would be worth adding. Did you have something to say?
You guys just passed code for all that stuff.
Right.
But for duplexes, so you know, RQ,
Chris, we'll get you on recording.
So frustrating. For R2, you can have duplexes in 85% of this town.
Right.
You know, so it's future growth, and how do you promote that? And again, it goes back to have a purpose, and you know, identify that purpose, and hopefully somebody tries to fill it. I mean, that's why you got apartments on 7th, because we defined a purpose, and somebody said, "I'm going to give this a shot." course, then they abandoned it, but that's beside the point.
Right. So then we
now
just
we, gotta make a plan.
We just added it to the comprehensive plan. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're I good. Mean, maybe I maybe I'm just lack of understanding on it, but we definitely have spoke about the code. Is this going forward with this comprehensive plan, though? Is it a different scope that we're doing than just identifying code for it?
Back up a little bit. So you have your comprehensive plan and you have your zoning and subdivision. Those are two different things. Yeah. But the plan should provide the support and guidance. And then the zoning is the rules that are actually implemented. So right now we're looking at the guidance. We already do have some of the rules. So we need to make sure that they're consistent.
So we've made the rules. We need to
add it to the comprehensive plan.
Make it so that we're actually, it's something that we're recommending and saying we'd like to see this in our town.
Right. And then that's our vision for Othello as it grows.
Okay.
Which makes sense, just to circle back around, which makes sense for a planning commission to review ADUs.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. I'm sticking with it. Okay, next.
Okay, so inventory and analysis of existing projected housing needs over the next 20 years. So this portion, the by income band, the state will give us those numbers, and we looked at those with the housing stuff we've done recently. I guess we can decide, as that all plays out, if we want to keep the income band portion, because that's saying for people at 0 to 30% of the median income, 30 to 50, 50 to 80, you know, how many units do we need at each of those levels, which I think is a good thing to know.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is the capacity for housing, including various types of the low income housing. I think we should know what our capacity is so we know what we're working on.
Okay.
This is kind of the same sort of stuff. Okay. Looking at what the limitations are. I think that'd be good to look at that. Okay, this last one about, do we want to look at things that result in racially disparate impacts, displacement, exclusion, and housing? Again, I don't know if you feel like that's an issue here. I guess you tell me.
I don't feel like there's exclusion based on the zoning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think there's exclusion based on prices. But how do we affect that?
Right, yeah.
I mean, I think since I've been on the Planning Commission, the zoning stuff we spoke of is trying to help with that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jose has something to say. Is he able to unmute? Is he a panelist?
Yeah, I can. Okay. I can hear.
Go ahead, Jose.
So I guess my question on that one, and for the disparity impact, does that include schools? Like, if the housing is in a location, right? Because I'm assuming the schools have different. Like, if you're living in a certain area, you go to this school. You know what I mean? Like, as far for the zoning and where you live in and where you go from what schools is it? Are we also using that data to identify, like, the local policies and stuff, the impacts that those are when it comes to the inclusion?
I think this, if I'm correct, I think the school district decides territories per school, and that's just for elementaries. So if you live in a proximity to an elementary, you just go to that elementary by territory. So your address when you register funnels you to an elementary. And it's usually just the one that's in your area. So I don't think zoning would necessarily impact how this school district does their territories, because they do it based off of capacity of building in proximity.
Right.
School district has boundaries for each elementary.
Yeah.
And then would then choose areas in the county that are not within the city. They would pick those to try to, there was a big discussion about balancing racial disparities and stuff within the schools. And then, of course, one of our elementaries is a school of applications, mm-hmm. so that one doesn't apply there. So the other three elementaries are all based on boundaries that they've set up within the city. So they are.
That's
probably not part of the boundary, or it might be.
Right.
But if they haven't already, they will identify as that gets developed what school then that
boundary will go through.
That those new homes will go.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking, like, going back to what you guys were talking about before with communication with schools for future growth. And so it's just something that I was just wondering, like, if the school comes and says, we are going to build a school here in the future, then what kind of housing are we looking at to build around that? You know what I mean? Like, if we're building duplexes, are we building single family homes? Are we being,
right.
you know, are we being inclusion in the way of where it's just not like only people that can afford certain types of homes and types of that.
I think that would also be up to developers as they purchase those properties and what they decide to develop in those areas. So the developer would purchase the property and then request a certain type of housing there. And then we would decide zoning based off of that.
Okay.
It would be kind of hard to say what could go next to a school because it would be the developer who would build there. Correct? Anne?
Yes. I mean, we could. So mostly we've been zoning everything R4 to give them the most flexibility.
Right.
Some jurisdictions would have a kind of a lower limit in an R4. They would say you have to build, I mean, your lots can, you have to meet a certain density. If you're going to be R4, you have to meet a density of, say, like 8 units to the acre, mm-hmm. which wouldn't get you a development like Sand Hill Estates. That's more like 4 units to the acre. So that could be something we look at in the future as far as putting a lower limit on the higher density zones to then you're kind of requiring the higher density, the more like the middle housing.
With that, if that were to be done, would that create inconsistency in how Othello is developed from what we currently are? Or would things essentially not be impacted? I guess my concern is just you don't ever want growth to look inconsistent. Mm-hmm. At least I don't think we should want growth to look inconsistent or patchy or anything like that. So would that recommendation change anything?
You may have to look at where that zone already applies, and maybe you're at that point creating some new zones of the existing things as they are, and then you're saying when it's applied in a new area, there are different limits.
Okay.
And Jose, kind of responding to what you said, I think that the school district typically is reacts to what development is happening in the city to then determine if boundaries need to be readjusted and new boundaries be made. So it's more about what's going on in the city. All right, now how do we adjust our boundaries to make that balance out in our current elementaries? And it's only an elementary issue now because we only have one middle school and one high school. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Okay. No. Yep. This makes sense. I was just wondering if it has to do with anything like that. But awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
Next section is capital facilities. Pretty much we want to think about all our capital facilities and plan them and map them and the water system, the sewer system,
okay,
all that stuff. And we want to look at what we need in the future, how we're paying for it, with our population projection of what it is, you know, how is it all going to work out.
Does the commission delve into how these things would be financed?
Not much, I would say. I mean, it's a question you should ask. I mean, it's going to be the council that's going to determine, you know, what money is spent on what. But I think as a commission, you would look at what's reasonable, and just to have everything in the plan. It all needs to, all the pieces need to fit together. And so you need to look at it as an overall picture, and that includes the financing.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, Rob's question is really good, because I do want to point one of those out that we kind of jumped into a little bit on the Planning Commission, was trying to get Columbia Street connecting 14th all the way down to 1st. And, you know, there are three owners primarily, and we looked at some funding options for them that they might be able to consider, but we couldn't get a majority to agree on it. So, I mean, that is some place that you guys have gone before. You identified, hey, this would be a great need. This would be a way to fund this. We just couldn't get agreement at the time. Now, Columbia Street's about to potentially double in size as it goes up to the Hampton development. So, you know, that might be something that might be not necessarily this funding format, but something like that might be something considered in some different areas as well. And we've been there, we've done that before, so keep it in your toolbox.
So the utility element, they're basically going to take our water and sewer plan and just incorporate the outlines.
Okay.
That's pretty straightforward. Transportation, I think we want an inventory of what we've got. Mm-hmm. So next thing is level of service. And I provided you some information about that because I didn't know if that would be a
understandable
concept. Or if that's like totally plannerese, I don't know. Basically, you're saying how congested are the streets? How long do you have to wait at an intersection to go? So you want to make sure that you've got a plan for addressing that as the congestion grows, what's going to happen, and the developer should pay their portion. So that's something that our current plan really lacks, okay, that I would like to see us look at.
Okay.
So then statewide, they've gone from that, we're just looking at vehicles, to looking at multimodal level of service, which I don't feel like I really understand very well, but that's looking at the pedestrian facilities, the bicycle facilities, you know, all the different travel modes. And so and ask our consultant to kind of explore that and see where it goes, maybe. I don't know. What's your feeling on that?
I don't understand it either, so.
I don't see why not, especially if the electric bikes that people use. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's worth discussing if we're already talking about.
Yeah, you're already on the subject. Might as well include it all.
Yeah.
I mean, if we want this to be a comprehensive plan, we should include as much as possible.
Good point. Okay. Hey, did you have something else to say? You have your hand raised still. I don't know if it's still or again.
Your arm's got to be
on the tired. on the topic that you guys are talking about, the to adopt a multi-modal level service, is that with that when it says active transportation facilities, is that including like people for people?
So that would be what we would have for transit, since that's all we've got.
So yes.
So yeah.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
So we look at how we, you know, keep those levels of service. So we decide what the level of service would be. Do we say, because it goes letter grades. you know, do we say that it can't fall below a D, or, you know, and then if there is a, I don't know where that's printing. if there is, you know, a project that would come in that would fall below that, then there needs to be improvements to make that not happen.
Okay.
This is all kind of similar stuff. So active transportation, we did an active transportation plan, so we'll be kind of incorporating
just that, kind that of incorporating that previous.
Yes.
Okay.
Again, looking at the funding, make sure that we've got funding lined up. The computer wants to reboot, so hopefully it won't before the end of the meeting. So this one about if probable funding falls short of meeting the needs, discussion of what happens to address that, which I think is a good, is good planning.
Yeah.
And we wanted to, you know, cooperate. We don't have, you know, we have Adams County is really the only other jurisdiction in the state. So, I mean, we'd coordinate with them. Which I think would be good for us. And then this next part is citing essential public facilities. This isn't something we currently really have a guidance for, but it would be a good idea to have a process if somebody's gonna bring in the kind of thing nobody wants, you know, in their backyard, like a landfill or a jail or something. We should have a process to, how do you deal with that? Because nobody's going to want it next to them. So, and this last one was, so there's a, this is a new requirement for the fully planning growth management counties as far as resiliency. It's talking about, you know, how do you address natural hazards like drought and heat and smoke and wildfire.
Species migration, there's your sandhill crane.
Yeah, that's where I was. I was really early on that.
Yeah, okay, there's your.
Okay. Oh, so I already said what my concern was. Does anyone else have concern about not including or not looking at this when we're doing a comprehensive plan?
What's your concern exactly, though?
So my concern is natural environments. When we grow, what are we doing to some of these environments? Should that be something we're looking at and reviewing when we're talking about growth as well? And I did state, like, my one concern is, like, sandhill cranes. Like, that's a really big moneymaker for Othello. So are we going to grow in an area that could affect sandhill cranes? Do we want to visit that as part of the plan and growth?
So, and I could be wrong on this. I feel like that would be like a Puyallup who is right on the edge of another city, right? And maybe there's a little bit of green space in between. And they have to look at, are we going to grow into the only green space that has habitat? I feel like there's so much habitat around us. I don't know that that applies, but that just
I just think it's worth discussing.
Yeah.
I don't want to shoot it down and say we don't need it without talking about it.
Those areas get gobbled up really fast, though, when you start expanding quickly. I grew up in Buena Park. I don't think you can find any green space there anymore, but there was lots when I was a kid.
And this plan, we're talking, this is going to be essentially a 20-year plan, correct?
I would have to revisit it in 10 years, but
I could see it on a future one, I guess is what I would say.
Yeah.
But now it just seems so far out.
Right.
I'm sure people have said that before.
Right. So it gets revisited in 10 years, but the goal is for this plan to last 20 years.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Changes could
be made.
What, you know, you plan for 20 years, in 10 years you look and see, you know, how good did you do at predicting? And then you plan for the next 20 years from there. So.
And I think we could discuss it and just have a basic statement about where we are and where we see ourselves. I don't know how you identify specific safe passage.
Right.
But I don't have any problem talking about it.
Would you guys want it included in the discussion of the comprehensive
plan? I agree with Rob. I think it is probably too soon because, like your previous example, we'd have to grow all the way to Moses and all the way to Mattawa. There's enough wildlife in the area between the two cities that it might be a little too soon. So that was a good example that put it to me where I was like, we're not buddied up next to another city. But yeah, like you said, a statement won't hurt.
Jose, go ahead.
I think we should look into it just because I know that the city council was wanting to obviously add Little Mex to the city, and in between the city and Little Mex, we have, you know, that wild protective area there. And so, so I think it would be nice to kind of see, you know, what, have something in place, or maybe just even just having a talk about what's considered safe packets, passage and stuff.
How do you define a passage?
We could be specific with
maybe it's worth just reviewing as part of the plan, and if nothing can be agreed on, then you know, maybe we wasted a little bit of time, but I don't think it would be wasted time, ultimately. I think it's at least worth looking at as part of the plan. And whether we decide we're too far away to impact it, then nothing needs to be done with it. But I think we should include it in the plan to
be used to have a lot of burrowing owls, and as the district has been burying their pipelines, burrowing owls are going away. So
yeah, I think it should just at least be reviewed.
Everything we do is changing our environment. Yeah.
I scrolled back to this page in the land use chapter where it talked about open space corridors, green spaces, you know, land for recreation, habitat, trails, forests. So I think we'll maybe get it. Get there too.
But we're on the resilience one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. She just went back up to say that it could.
It'll also be discussed on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And both. Okay. Good sense of what we should focus on.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's a lot, guys. Comprehensive
plans.
Well, if we
don't include it now, do we have to go back to it eventually? I mean, because like you said, it's everything. And if we excluded things, does that mean that we're going to have to review it sooner than later?
No, because none of this is required.
Oh, okay.
So it's all optional for us, but it's...
So we're making it extra comprehensive.
We are following pretty closely to what's required for the larger jurisdictions, but a lot of this is just good planning. We should do this anyway, so.
Like I said, even if it's just in the end, we just make a statement that we see the importance. Right. It might not be something that is impacted yet.
Mm-hmm. You know. I agree. I think that would be really great for you guys to look at. I'd like to say me, but I'm not going to be here. Mine isn't a surprise. Okay, where are we next? And I don't want to go all the way to the top to look at the agenda again.
Let me pull it up because I'm not sure where mine went either. Okay, so I have the building and planning reports for your information.
Okay.
And then we should probably do an election for chair and vice chair for next year.
Okay.
And I do have one other thing I'd like to talk about after that.
Okay. So let's go ahead and do an election for chair and vice chair, and then we can go into any other topics. You guys okay with that? So at this time, is it going to be a nomination?
They're going to open for nominations, okay. Yeah.
So I will open a nomination for chair.
I nominate Rob.
Okay, any seconds for Rob?
Conspiracy.
Maria, seconds. Okay, all those for I?
Wait.
Do I get to speak?
You should.
Yeah,
know
you could
that
nominate
was
somebody if you'd like.
Huh?
You could nominate someone if you'd like. Any other nominations?
I feel like it's the right thing to let the person who's nominated speak before the vote.
I didn't get to.
That's true.
Well, I'm speaking. So, first of all, I'm willing to do it. And I was talking to Chris about it. And so my issue is I'm new here and I don't have the history. Mm-hmm. And we're losing, I believe, the two members that have the most history.
You'll get a planning liaison that you could lean on.
So, I mean, that's a big thing. I think that it's important. I don't want to rehash things that have been discussed over and over. And so that's important to me. I know how to run a meeting. I can do that. But just so you guys know, I don't.
You're in really good hands with Anne, I promise.
There's a lot I don't know, and I understand that. Yeah. Okay. All right. I've said my piece. Have your vote.
Okay. All those in favor of Rob Simmons as chair, say aye.
Aye.
Say opposed, same sign.
Okay. Do you guys want to have coffee or something and discuss
Rob
this?
Rob is going to be the new chair. Okay, so I will now entertain a nomination for vice chair. I nominate Daniela Voorhees.
I second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, aye. Same sign. Okay, Daniela Voorhees will now be vice chair.
I don't have a speech. I'm equally as.
Just so you know, I have a lot of meetings I'll be missing coming up. Something is going on.
Okay.
I keep mine short and concise and, you know, straight to the point. So.
So I just wanted to recognize Alma and Chris for their years on the Planning Commission.
And speaking, I think you want to hear this.
What I do?
You know, you just might want to listen.
We're thanking you for Chris 10 years on the Planning Commission, Alma for 5 years. So I made a list of some of the things that have been worked on. So in the last 5 years, we had the updates to the subdivision code, active transportation plan.
The list for all
so zero?
Parks element, the mobile food vendors, sidewalk vendors, housing action plan, accessory dwelling units, rental licensing and safety program, multifamily tax exemption, a lot of little tweaks to the residential zone, parking signs, fence, landscaping. So that's a lot in the last 5 years since Alma. I have less history with Chris. I don't know what happened before I got here. So, but we did one of the big projects was the zoning code, the zoning map. That was a huge one. We did go through the accessory dwelling unit ordinance multiple times. Also with Travis, you did the critical areas. We also did the complete streets ordinance, the street safety plan. So that's a really good legacy for you two.
Thank you.
Thank you for your work on the commission. We'll miss you, but we'll see you at council.
Yes. And I would just like for the record to show that in all the times that I've been wrong, Chris has actually publicly apologized to me for all the times that I've actually been right and he's been wrong.
That was twice. Not that I'm counting.
So, we're going to really pretty certificates.
How sweet. It is. Thank you so much, Anne. Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, this is so special.
Oh, I get to keep another. Now I got two of them.
Thank you.
I was gonna bring it to the meeting on Monday, but I thought it'd keep her sumptuous.
Okay. Anything else you'd like us to go over for tonight's meeting?
No.
You have none, sir. You are public tonight.
Public is closed.
And public input was closed a long time ago, and I've let you exceed that.
You're no Bob Carlson, all right?
You share Bob's opinion on rodeo legs, let me tell you. And
did you want to go over anything in the old business?
The council adopted the subdivision code, so that's great news. The Board of County Commissioners, I forgot to, oh, I guess that's tomorrow. So they did hear the homeless plan last week, but the resolution, they didn't have the resolution ready, so they're going to do that tomorrow, just on the consent agenda. So I think that should be adopted tomorrow.
Okay.
Don't you have a new planning commissioner too?
Yeah, he won't be here till January.
But he replaces Alma, so he doesn't start until January. And then we will have one opening. So if you know someone you think would be good for the Planning Commission, encourage them to submit a letter of interest. And we'll be doing some sort of a notification like we did for Alma's position. So hopefully we get some good applicants.
What are the requirements for where they live?
I think just city limits, right?
It doesn't actually say that you have to be in city limits.
Oh, for Planning Commission? Okay.
For Planning Commission. So it's just an having an interest in, you know, what's happening.
Okay.
And it's appointed by the mayor, so it'll be the new mayor that would be doing the appointing.
She would be a good one. Okay. Anything Planning Commission would like to bring to the record tonight? Anything that they want reviewed or discussed? Okay. So then at this time, I would like to entertain a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:10 p.m.
Make a motion first.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, aye. Same sign. Aye. We will adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:10. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Well, you may have done it before, but that was a one and done.